Welcome back, everybody. As always, I'd like to have you check us out. Where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And where else, Don?
That Facebook thing?
Yeah, that thing.
That social media?
I think you put it on The Valley Outdoors. We'll get you.
Yeah.
Our Facebook page.
Exactly.
And you're going to post some new pictures on there, right?
Yep. Yep.
So we got lots of pictures to look at next week.
Yep. We'll be doing that. And
you just told me you're going to catch 100 walleyes.
I'm going to catch 100 walleyes. That's what I'm going to do.
Over 5 pounds.
I didn't say over 5
pounds.
Yes,
you did.
I'm going to catch some fish.
You heard them, didn't you?
Nope. She didn't hear that.
Ava.
That's what I thought.
Oh, Ava, play along.
That's what I thought.
No, that's what I thought you said,
You hit your head recently if you did.
Oh.
I'm not a fisherman that's going to say I'm going to catch 100 fish over 5 pounds. That's not going to happen. I can dream.
It sound like that to me, but
in one day?
All right.
No. Come on, Don.
We'll see the pictures of the.
Now, if you're going to go catfishing, then, you know, I'll just watch.
Learn from the master.
The only catfish I've ever caught in my life came from his boat.
There's no try, only do. Once again, it rears its ugly head. Nice try, Don. So,
what?
We've talked several weeks in a row. I actually don't know if we talked about it last week. I don't think we did. About the administration, and they're trying to delete the funding for archery and hunter education, hunter training, those kinds of things.
Firearm safety.
Yep. And believe it or not, the groundswell of pressure from you folks in the listening audience and all over has made a resounding
they heard you.
Impact, I guess, is the best way to put it. The administration now, they support funding for valuable school enrichment programs such as hunter safety and archery, they're now saying. Sean McClellan, the executive director for the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, said that the Education Department is blocking funding for outdoor education programs based on the interpretation of the new law, which we've talked about. Remember, we talked about that.
Right.
However, the White House confirmed Thursday that the president is planning to sign legislation that explicitly reverses his own administration's decision to defund school shooting sports courses nationwide. So they're reversing their decision that was implicitly said, we're not going to allow this. They've changed their mind. White House spokesperson said that Biden supports the Protecting Hunting Heritage and Education Act, which ensures elementary and secondary school hunting and education programs, archery as well, continue to receive federal funds after the Department of Education began withholding funding earlier this year. Spokesperson further pointed to a statement from the director of the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. The president supports a legislative solution to ensure the ESEA, that's the Heritage Education Act, that funding can be used for valuable school enrichment programs such as hunter safety and archery. Bipartisan legislation passed unanimously, 424-1.
Ooh, I wonder who one was.
Both Republican and Democratic lawmakers have said a 2022 gun control law had been misinterpreted and the administration was restricting access to those programs. The administration's shameful and deliberate misinterpretation of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act has jeopardized students' access to educational enrichment programs like hunting and archery, said John Cornyn of Texas. Legislation would ensure these valuable programs remain available in schools across the country and urge him to sign this immediately into law. You can't make it up. You know what I mean? Honestly, originally the Department of Education, they had doubled down on their original interpretation. They doubled down on it and say they would only reverse the course if legislation was passed explicitly revising the law to allow for funding. So they said, no, we're not going to change our mind. And according to this article, they feel the Department of Education is completely tone deaf to think that cutting hunting and archery programs in school is a good idea. And that was from the House Education and Workforce Committee Chairwoman, Virginia Fox. Wow. It doesn't make sense to me. The key sponsors were Cornyn, Sinema, and Tillis. They are the Senate sponsors of Protecting the Hunting Heritage. There were three of the four sponsors. The fourth sponsor was Chris Murphy out of Connecticut. He signed into the letter. The Senate Appropriations Committee leaders asking the issue to be fixed in the upcoming government funding package.
Well, I'm glad they did that.
I am too, but you know what?
It's somebody's tone deaf.
It's absolutely ludicrous that you have to go through hoops like this. How much money was spent doing this? Going through the hoops that you have to go through. How many people were PO'd because of this? How many programs were cut?
I'm guessing there were
because
a lot.
Remember, this was happening at the start of the school year, so those programs were cut.
Right.
So,
well, they were cut based on receiving federal funding.
Right. And they very well prevented the fall academic season, which is, I believe, the fall is when I know for a fact it's when the hunter education happens for the most part.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about it the other day. Ava, I mean, you've had hunter safety. I've had hunter safety. Don, you've had hunter safety.
I've had it four times. I'm not a slow learner.
Did you get better every time?
I went with each one of my children
and
attended with them to make sure they were paying attention.
Well, and one of the comments, Montana is known, obviously, as a very strong gun proponent, and across rural America, the schools have long offered hunter safety classes that teach your students gun safety and personal responsibility. That's really what it comes down to, teaching responsibility. Because if you look at somebody that's not taught how to properly deal with that,
or handle firearms. Well, that's where, like, just for example, in Minnesota, and I'm sure it's in all other states as well, the trap leagues that are going on.
Yeah.
I mean, in Minnesota, there's 8,000 participants, boys and girls, across the state, and they've never had a mishap or an injury of any sort. Now, it doesn't have to be the firearm going off or anything. It could be pinching your finger when you're shutting
it could be anything, but it has not happened.
We haven't had one, to my knowledge, we haven't had a injury or a mishap.
Well, in high school, there's two sports that are the fastest growing sports. One is fishing. The other is the trap shooting. And it offers a diverse involvement. Girls, boys, they compete on the same team. People that may not be as athletic as normal, as a football player, as a highly skilled somebody playing basketball or whatever that might be. But I'll tell you what, there's people that don't excel at that but can be beyond.
There's another side of that story too. Even those athletes that do participate in those other sports can still do trap shooting.
Yeah.
Because they practice at a different time.
Yeah, so, it could be.
Yeah.
They're I don't know if people are familiar how that works, but when they trap shoot, they're trapping shooting at their own range. And they compete virtually. So the other team they're against, they shoot in their range, you shoot in the other range. The only time they actually get together is at the championship up in...
As far as travel goes.
Yeah. That's the only travel. So it costs the schools less money to do that as well.
Right.
So a lot of...
And most of the clubs most of the clubs are supported financially by local sporting groups for, you know, ammunition, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, tell you what, we're going to be right back. We got some more cool stories coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the biggest costing game tags in North America. Hang tight. Coming right up.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Well done. You and I talked a little bit about everybody that, you know, looks at getting a game tag, and you have to apply some multiple years ahead.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's if you were planning to, say, go to Wyoming, you need to start acquiring preference points. And it all depends upon the area you want to go to.
Yep.
It depends upon how many preference points it's going to take. It also matters whether or not you're going to hunt with a party or individually.
Yep.
There's so many variables.
Buck or doe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're hunting for antelope or elk or whitetail or mule deer, depends upon what you're hunting for.
What species,
so it's all different.
Yep.
So, but you start planning years in advance. I know guys that have waited 25 years to get that one tag. It's a once in a lifetime thing. Once I found out, I realized I'm out of time.
Well, you might not be done, because if you are out of time, just hope you have some money.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. If you want a doll sheep,
not going to happen.
You ain't going to live long enough, and that, or you're going to need to win the lottery.
Well, that's the story that comes out of it. We get a brief history of America's most expensive big game tags, and I think some people will be a little bit shocked at some of these numbers and the methodologies. So the big question is, how much would you pay for the hunt of a lifetime? The tag to have the opportunity to shoot one.
Is it guided?
No.
You're just buying the tag. And go on your own? I mean, actually,
some places you have to have a tag.
You actually have a guide.
Yep.
But the odds of you being successful for a doll sheep is pretty limited if you don't have a guide.
Yeah.
If not, impossible.
So, okay, how about 10 grand?
No, we won't touch it.
50? I'm just saying, how much would you pay for a hunt of a lifetime?
You've already gone way past.
How about $370,000? That's how much the state of Oregon received for this year's governor's tag auction for a coveted sheep tag.
For a sheep?
Yeah. Most Western states have some variation of a governor's tag, albeit under different names. The premise is the same. The state sets aside a handful of big game tags, usually some combination of sheep, elk, deer, and goat, that can be auctioned off to the highest bidders. Secondary to a standard tag lottery system, which we've heard of, those are just standard, the governor's tag provides a means to raise money for conservation wildlife initiatives that would otherwise be unfeasible. Such a small number of the so-called once-in-a-lifetime tags are given out annually through the ordinary sheep, moose, and goat draws, but the revenue from those sales doesn't even come close to those generated by governor's tags. In Montana, for example, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks gave away 198 bighorn tags through the big game draw in 2022. That's excluding the unlimited sheep hunt that are involved in, but including the ewe tags. At $125 per tag, they brought $24,500 in licensed revenues from the species. That same year, Montana sold a single governor's sheep tag for $360,000 through the Wild Sheep Foundation. They also hold the record in Montana for the all-time most expensive sheep tag, with the highest bid in 2013. What do you think?
I have no idea.
$480,000. The winner, however, reportedly backed out after a dispute with his wife. The tag went to the second highest bidder, and the original winner agreed to pay the difference.
Wife said no. She said, no way.
I'm not even going to comment on that one.
In all states that hold the governor's tags, the auctions are conducted by sponsoring conservation organizations. They're usually allowed to keep a portion of the profits, 10% in Oregon, for example, while the remainder is earmarked for conservation and returned to the state's wildlife agency. Since the concept in the 80s and 90s, they have slowly been creeping upwards. When the auction started in 95, a measly $73,000 took home a sheep tag. In 86, in Montana, a bid of $76,000 secured the tag. More recent auctions held at hunting expos have raised millions of dollars for conservation in only a few hours. For example, in 2017, the 11th Annual Western Hunting and Conservation Expo raised over $1 million on their five highest selling hunts. $280,000 for a mule deer hunt, buck hunt in Arizona. $250,000 for a mule deer hunt in Utah. $180,000 for a statewide mule deer hunt in Utah. And $170,000 for five species in New Mexico. And last but not least, $130,000 for a statewide mule deer hunt permit in Nevada. Salt Lake City. Bidder's Home took home what might be the most expensive tags ever sold. A $500,000 Utah Antelope Island mule deer tag, one of only two given out annually. And in the Great Salt Lake, it's known for its monster bucks. And a staggering, you love this one, $725,000 for an Arizona mule deer tag. They can hunt bucks for an entire calendar year. Is that on off the charts?
That's like paying, $400 for a pizza, but it's for the cause. I mean, that's obviously what's going
right.
on there. I mean, that's yeah. what's happening.
That's the only reason.
You know, in Wyoming, they have what they call a super tag, mm-hmm. which is a hunt for, I believe it's an antelope, mule deer, and elk. But it's a lottery, so you pay $40, or it's a raffle, I should
it's say. It's actually right here. Some of the trophy hunts, they're viewed as unfair opportunities for wealthy out-of-state landowners and ordinary hunters decades to try and pull it, like we talked about. In response, some states like Montana and Wyoming have implemented a comparable super tag raffle, given out similar licenses through raffles that typically cost between $5 and $25 to enter. It's not quite the guarantee of dropping $400,000 on a tag, but it gives the folks the ordinary means of fighting chance, no matter how small it may be.
Well, some lucky dude's going to get a great hunt.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's kind of like you won't win unless you
try.
If you don't play, you don't win.
Right. It's like the lottery.
I will say this, though. $750,000 for a tag. You better.
I hope he got one.
Well, you might as well just make it $1 million.
There's Come a song on. That goes along like that, right?
Yes.
If I had $1 million, I'd be rich. Or I got a tag. Followed up with that one.
Just make it $1 million.
That's insanity. What's not insanity is we had a good time today. I really enjoyed it. Thank you guys. Appreciate it, Don, Ava. And we are the Valley Outdoors. That's a wrap for us. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend, and we will talk to you next week. See ya.